motherfucker.
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
With Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, ha-ha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio.
Also, my podcasts are free of ads, so you can enjoy the programs commercial-free. If you would like to donate a few dollars to help me cover the cost of creating these weekly posts, you can donate to my channel. On the bottom of each post, there is a donation link in your preferred podcast player. Anything you donate is extremely helpful and appreciated.
March is here. The year is moving along nicely. Hope everyone is doing well. We're going to start the month of March with Martin and Lewis. Two episodes from M&L. The first one has the guests of Lucille Ball, the great Lucille Ball, April 3rd, 1949. And then the second one is the 14th episode, which stars Ralph Bellamy. And that one is from July 5th, 1949.
It's the new, the great, the different, the Martin and Lewis Show. The National Broadcasting Company brings you the new Martin and Lewis Show. Our guest tonight, Lucille Ball, and featuring Eileen Woods, Flo McMichael, Dick Stabile and his orchestra, and starring Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis are two young men who, overnight, have become the nation's comedy hit. But let's get on with the show. We take you now to the apartment of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, where we find the boys getting ready, somewhat nervously, to go to the NBC studios for their first radio show.
There's a tree in the meadow with a stream drifting by. Answer the phone, Jerry, I'm tying my tie.
Okay, Dean, there's a tree in the meadow with a stream drifting by. I could never be a big singer like Crosby.
Well, why not?
I sound too much like Dean.
Oh, it must be NBC again. What cowards we are. Why are we afraid to do our own radio show? After all, how big an egg can we lay?
How big? Well, if we took a large hen and got it to hold back for 2 years...
All right, Jerry, all right. Okay. We've been acting like two frightened mice all day. We've got an ironclad contract to do the show. We got to talk to NBC sometime.
You're right. I'm not a frightened mouse. Answer the phone.
Oh, come on, Jerry, you answer it.
Dean Martin, I will tell you why I will not answer the phone. Indubitably, that is a call from NBC. And it is indubitably they want to know where the HECK we are because they are spending thousands and thousands of dollars and money to build a sensational comedy and musical extravaganza around us. And if they think we are that important, why don't they call us?
Jerry, they are calling us. Who else could it be besides NBC?
Well, it could be a wrong number, a quiz show. Hey, a quiz show. They give you money just for answering a few questions. Give me that phone. Hello, 1492 Marie Antoinette and sulfuric acid. Ship the money.
Now, come on, Jerry. We got to get down to NBC right away. Let's go.
Dean.
Yeah?
I'm scared.
Look, we've done all right so far. We shouldn't be afraid. We did all right in nightclubs, didn't we?
Yeah, but those people pay $10 cover charge, so they had to like us. But at a radio show, the audience gets in free, and at those prices, they can afford to hate us. Because there's nothing cheaper than something that doesn't cost very much. I always say.
Indubitably, but come on, Jerry. Get dressed.
Okay, I shall wear my new sport coat, which the man said was good for town or country and just perfect for the beach.
What is it, gabardine?
No, wet sand.
Jerry, you're just Stalin.
That's impossible. Stalin's a big man in Russia, and Russia's a big country full of places like Vladivostok. And they laughed. And Dnieper. And he's a big, important man. And if he thinks I'm impersonating him, he'll get mad and come and get me and send me to Siberia. And it's full of ice and snow and sleet. And Dean...
Yeah?
I'm cold.
Jerry, you and I are going to NBC and do that program. What are you scared of? When we played the Copacabana in New York, they laughed at us. When we played the Chaperie in Chicago, they laughed at us. And when we came out here and asked for a radio job...
They laughed at us.
They didn't laugh at us. They signed us up. They want us. Jerry, we got to do this radio show. Who knows? This could make us famous.
Yeah, famous.
We could even become important actors.
Yeah, important actors.
Our names in lights, celebrities, stars in pictures.
Yeah, names in lights, celebrities, stars in pictures. I can see it all. Big hits in nightclubs. We're famous. Everybody wants us. Hal Wallace signed us for a Paramount picture. NBC signed us for a radio show. We flop. Nobody wants us. Hal Wallace won't speak to us. Paramount hates us. We spend our savings. We can't get work. We're tramping the streets, starving. We stop and press our noses against a bakery window. Dean.
What?
I'm hungry.
Tell me, Jerry, did Whitaker Chambers ever hide any papers in your head?
Well, it ain't my fault. I don't have my head with me all the time, you know. Ah, let's answer it. Hello?
Hello.
Who is this speaking, please?
Jerry. Jerry, you have to take the phone off of the hook.
Yeah, when did they do that? Okay. Hello?
Why aren't you guys down here at NBC? They're going nuts down here.
Oh, it's our agent.
Well, it's not your maiden aunt in Minneapolis. Everyone's waiting to do the program. You guys are messing up the whole thing.
Now, listen, I can explain everything.
Good. Start with you. Now, listen, boys, don't ruin everything. This radio show means a lot to us. Your careers, my commission.
You think I don't care about the show? I do. After all, I gotta live, too.
I can think of a loophole in that argument.
Ooh, how you aggravate me. Okay, Abby, we'll be right down there.
We can't leave yet, Jerry. I gotta rehearse my number. It's a romantic number. I wish I had a girl to sing it to, you know, to get me in the mood.
I'll be a girl if you'll promise to respect me. Sing to me. I'm a great movie star and a princess of far-off India.
Really? What princess of India are you?
Rita Hayworth.
You're Rita Hayworth, but you're not even on the road to being a princess of India.
Maybe I'm not on the road, but I'm sure following the right alley. See, the idea of this gag is that, well, alley is an alley in the street, see? A-L-L-E-Y. But when you say alley, A-L-I, that's like the prince that is going to marry Rita Hayworth. It's all combined into one joke, and it's so funny, this kind of... Look how they're staring at me.
Ah, Jerry, relax. Have faith in me. We'll do all right on the radio show.
That's all right for you to say, but I haven't thought up any jokes to tell the people.
Oh, you'll think of something. What about me? I haven't even rehearsed my song. I don't even know if I'm in good voice.
Well, go ahead, sing. Give yourself a clue.
Be satisfied till you break my heart. You're never satisfied till a teardrop starts. I've tried to shower you
with love and kisses. But all I ever get from you is nagging and bragging, my poor heart is sagging, the way you toss my heart around. A crying shame. Well, I'll bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. You won't be satisfied till you break my heart. Oh, you won't be satisfied till you break my heart. You're never satisfied till a teardrop starts. I've tried to shower you with love and kisses. Ah, but all I ever get from you is nagging and bragging, my poor heart is sagging, the way you toss my heart around. It's a crying shame. Well, I'll bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. You won't be satisfied until you break my heart.
Dean, I know you'll want my opinion of your rendition, and I cannot tell a lie, it was magnificent. Oh, well. Come on, let's go.
Oh, not so fast. Let me take a look at you first. Stand up. Wash your hands?
Yes, partner.
Wash your face?
Yes, sir.
Behind your ears?
Look, I'm just going to a broadcast. I'm not going to get married. Anyway, what about you? Did you bathe?
Well, of course. I take a bath every day.
You take a bath every day?
Well, of course.
Oh, Dean, I'm so unworthy of you.
Now, you talk like that. What'll people think? When was the last time you took a bath?
In a tub?
Yes.
With soap?
Yes.
With water?
Yes.
Oh, Dean, I'm so unworthy of you.
Oh, let's get out of this apartment and go to NBC.
Who is it?
It's the maid. I have to come in and clean the apartment.
Well, okay, come on in. We're just leaving anyway.
Gee, look at the load of equipment she's carrying. I never saw such a stack of stuff in my life. Here, let me help you before you drop it, miss.
I can put it down myself, thank you.
Now let me help you with the other armful.
My goodness, just look at the condition of this room.
Huh? What's the matter with it?
It's clean.
Well, that's a break for you, then. You have no work to do.
I don't have any work to do. That's fine. I'm the maid, and I'm supposed to clean the apartments every day. And if your apartment isn't dirty, then I don't have to clean it. And if I don't have to clean your apartment, I won't have anything to do for a half hour. So I'll go out in the hall, and I'll light a cigarette, and the manager will smell the smoke, and he'll come up to me, and he'll say, "What are you doing smoking a cigarette in the hall?" And I'll say, "I haven't anything to do right now." And he'll say, "Why aren't you cleaning the apartments?" And I'll say, "I didn't have to clean the apartments." And he'll say, "Oh, you don't have to clean the apartments, huh?" And he'll get mad and fire me, and all because your apartment is clean. It's people like you that cause unemployment.
Miss, there's one thing I don't understand.
What's that?
Are you for real?
Miss, we're not trying to get you fired. Do the best you can. We have to leave. Come on, Jerry, let's go.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Now what?
There's a discrepancy in the bathroom.
A what?
One of you has to get married. The towels say his and hers, and you're a his and his.
Okay, okay. Look, just put in two hisses. That'll fix it.
Oh, it's not as simple as that. If I give you another his, then I'll have an extra hers. And at the end of the week, I'll have 148 hisses and 149 herses. And the manager won't know why there's more herses than hisses because he doesn't know how many heeses and cheeses there are in the building anyway.
Okay, take all the towels out, all of them. From now on, we'll dry on newspapers.
Well, the next thing on my list is dusting. I'll start with a dresser.
Don't touch that bottom drawer.
Why not?
Because that's where I keep my kittens. Hey, not the top drawer either.
What's in the top drawer?
Catnip.
Well, what's to prevent the cats in the bottom drawer from going up to the top drawer and eating the catnip?
In the middle drawer, bulldogs.
My, you're odd people.
We ain't odd, we're entertainers. We're Martin and Lewis, and we got a radio show to do in a few minutes.
Oh, you're on the radio. What do you do?
Well, one of us is a singer.
And the other guy's the funniest comedian you ever heard. He tells big jokes, kills the people, gets big laughs.
Which is which?
Well, come on, Jerry. Let's go to NBC.
Stand in line, folks, for the Martin and Lewis show. The line will move inside the studio in a few moments.
Come on, Miranda. Stand in line over here.
Well, all right, but I don't understand, Henrietta. Who are Martin and Lewis?
Well, my goodness, where have you been, Miranda? Well, they're famous.
Oh?
My husband was the conductor on the train they came out here on, and he heard that the greatest entertainers New York ever saw were Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Who told your husband that, Henrietta?
Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Pardon me, ladies, can you tell me how to get into the Martin and Lewis show?
Oh, stand behind us, young man, and we'll get the best seats. You know, we always come to see these new comedians the very first week because usually they don't last for a second week.
They don't, huh? Well, you don't know Martin and Lewis. They're the best comedians in the world, and I say that for two reasons. Bread and butter.
You know, I'm anxious to see that handsome Dean Martin. You know, Miranda, that Dean Martin's just the whole show as far as I'm concerned. He really has talent.
Now, wait a minute, lady. It takes two to make a team, you know. Takes two to make a team, Martin and Lewis. That's the team. They got to stick together. That's the way it is with any team. Without Fibber, where would Molly be? Without Kaiser, where would Fraser be? And without Earl Warren, where would... What was that guy's name again?
Okay, Jerry, I parked the car. Hey, what are you doing in this line?
Oh, it's Dean Martin.
Hello, ladies.
Oh, isn't he handsome? What are you going to sing tonight, Mr. Martin?
I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China.
It's a deal. Get the tickets and I'll meet you at the door. Already.
Come on, Jerry. Let's go into the studio here. Let's go into the studio here, Jerry.
Gee, look at all the people in here, Dean. I'm scared.
Here's Dean Martin. I'm your producer, Mr. Martin.
I'm your director, Mr. Martin.
I'm your band leader, Mr. Martin.
I'm your singer, Mr. Martin.
I'm your producer, Mr. Martin. I'm your director, Mr. Martin.
I'm your leader, Mr. Martin.
I'm your singer, Mr. Martin. What am I, the Larry Parks of this outfit?
Ah, be quiet, Jerry. I gotta rehearse.
Oh, now I gotta be quiet. You're a big star. A big man. You're too important for me. My tongue got in the way of my eye, too. I couldn't see what I was saying. You're just too important for me. Well, I don't need a house to fall on me. Goodbye, pal. I won't be a drag on you. I'm sorry it had to end like this. We had a lot of good times together. Even if I always did have to take the ugly ones.
Ah, Jerry. Jerry, your feelings are just hurt, that's all.
Oh, my feelings ain't hurt. I'm happy. I can laugh. forget you, Dean. You go on without me. And good luck, old pal. I won't ever be jealous of your success. When you're a big star and run over me in your big imported car, I'll still be happy. I'll just lay there and think, gee, Vogue tires. Well, I'll go now. You people don't want me here. I'll be seeing you.
Oh, poor Jerry. Why do you let him go away like that?
Oh, Jerry will be all right. Let's rehearse. And now I would like to present one of Hollywood's most glamorous stars, currently gracing your neighborhood screens in Sorrowful Jones, a charming actress who gracefully combines the talents of a leading lady and comedian.
Now, listen here, Dean Martin. Don't you say anything nice about me, you big bully, you monster. I'll have you know that
I'm not... Wait a minute. Why, you are Lucille Ball. But what's the matter, Lucille?
Don't act like you don't know. You've got some nerve, Dean Martin, asking me to come down here and be a guest on your radio program after the way you beat up that sweet, adorable little Jerry Lewis. Why, if I weren't a perfect lady, I'd slug you. The idea, beating up that darling, cute, lammy pie.
Me?
Yes, you, Dean Martin.
Well, Jerry, hey, where'd he go?
He's behind me, where he'll be safe. He's not going to stay out here where you can knock him down again.
Knock him down?
Yes, and kicking him and throwing dirt in his face and trying to drive your car over him.
I did that?
See, Lucille, he admits it.
Oh, I get it. Jerry told you that story.
Yes, he did. I never met anyone so contemptible as you in my whole life. How could you treat Jerry that way? He's so darling and so cute.
You forgot Lammy Pie.
Just exactly what did Jerry tell you I did to him?
He told me the whole story. It's incredible to me that you could pick on a little fella like that when you have such a grand physique. When you're so much bigger than he is, with all those great, big, powerful muscles. You big...
Yes?
And the things you called him. It's just hard to imagine names like that being spoken by you. Why, you have that wonderful, soft, caressing voice.
Yes?
Lucille, hey, Lucille!
Will you stop tugging at my skirt?
I just wanted you to know I'm still here. Lewis is the name. Jerry Lewis, they call me. Don't stop, Lucille. Tell them off. Good.
All right. You're right. Dean Martin, how could you have slugged poor Jerry when you look so handsome with those soft eyes and long, long lashes?
Yes?
Hey, Lucille!
Shut up, you little schnook.
Schnook! Me, schnook!
The idea of telling those awful fibs about this darling, cute, lammy pie, Dean Martin. I ought to turn you over my knee and spank you.
Dean, Dean!
Yes?
Dean, are you going to stand there and let her talk to me like that?
Yes. But really, he isn't bad at all, Lucille. In fact, he's a very nice guy. In fact, he's a wonderful guy. Why, Jerry's the important half of our act. He's the talent. Why, he's the one who gets all the laughs. He's the one the critics rave about. He's the one the people love.
Oh, what a ham.
Well, it's sure nice of you to come down tonight and help us get on our get our first show started, Lucille. I figured we need plenty of advice here in Hollywood.
Come on, snap out of it.
I'm sure you're going to be very successful.
Well, how about Jerry?
Yeah, how about that?
You'll see. I'm going to be a big star. When I make my first picture, I'll be sensational. I'll be... Well, you do think I'll be a picture star, don't you, Lucille?
Why not? Lassie made it.
If you're going to make fun of me, I'll quit the show. I'll give Dean all the money we've saved, and I'll go home and lock myself in a closet, kick my heels, and hold my breath until I die. And if you want to know why I do these things, it's because, listen.
Well, don't get too desperate, Jerry. Look, I've planned a little party for you and Dean after the show. Lots of important people will be there.
Well, that's wonderful, Lucille.
Well, the only thing, Dean, does Jerry know how to act at a party?
Do I know how to act at a party? Why, one time in a back room of a barbershop...
Jerry! Hold it.
You see what I mean?
Miss Ball! Miss Ball, Mr. Martin, I would like to inform you that Gerald Lewis, when attending a social event... Paper, what do you want? Miss Ball and Mr. Martin, I'd like to inform you that Gerald Lewis, when attending a social event, always conducts himself with complacent, elegant simplicity, utterly devoid of ostentation.
Jerry Lewis, where did you get words like that?
Don't ask me. I'm just as surprised as you are. Gee, I hope there's a girl there for me. Lucille, I like him about my height.
Well, let's see now. Betty Grable will be there.
And, of course, I like him about my age.
Uh-huh. Well, Anne Blythe will be there.
And I like him to be of my intelligence.
Sorry, Margaret O'Brien can't stay out that late. Jerry, I hope you understand. I've invited important people. People of refinement, breeding, culture.
Don't worry about me. Refinement and breeding and culture pour out of me like sweat off a horse's neck.
Lucille, don't worry. I'll guarantee Jerry.
Well, I don't know. I'm afraid he'll be a little raucous.
Raucous? Me? Don't ever worry about Jerry Lewis being raucous. I'll make more noise than anyone there.
Now, Lucille. If you'll just tell us the address of the party, and by the way, Lucille, shall we dress?
Naturally, we don't want the cops.
Oh, the party sounds like it'll be a lot of fun, Lucille, and I'm sure we'll know exactly what to do.
Sure, we've been educated. You know, I worked my way through Harvard.
What?
Well, he did stumble his way through high school.
He looks more like he had to shoot his way out of kindergarten.
I'm really looking forward to this, Lucille.
Well, my house isn't one of those elaborate Hollywood mansions, Dean.
Oh, there's one thing, Jerry. If we decide to go in for a dip, be sure you don't go in the servant's swimming pool.
Sorry to butt in, but we go on the air in 30 seconds.
Okay, fine. Are you nervous, Jerry?
Me? Nervous?
20 seconds.
I'll be all right. I'll kill the people.
15 seconds.
Just let me at them.
10 seconds.
I'll fracture them.
5 seconds. 4 seconds. 3, 2.
I'll pulverize them.
The Martin and Lewis Show is on the air.
Go ahead, Jerry. Start talking.
Yes, sir. A very funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio.
Well, come on, Lucille. Help me hold Jerry up and we'll do the song.
Okay. Up he goes.
Up he goes.
If you got it, you don't need it.
If you need it, you don't got it.
You don't get it. Shame on you.
Funny, 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 what money can do.
Ask the rich man, he'll confess. Money can't buy happiness.
Ask a poor man, he don't doubt.
But he'd rather be miserable with than without.
I love life and I want to live. I love life and I say.
Yeah, but I love life.
I know, but you don't have to spoil it for the rest of us.
If you spend it, please be wiser.
If you save it, you're a miser.
If you don't want it,
you're cuckoo.
Funny, 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 what money can do.
good to be home in bed. And, Dean, I'm sorry I messed up our radio program tonight.
Ah, forget it, Jerry. It's past midnight. Better get some sleep. Good night.
Good night.
Well, who could that be?
What do you want?
It's me, the maid. I'm sorry, but you'll have to get out of those beds.
Get out of bed? Why?
Well, you see, those beds are 6x3 beds. And this afternoon, I made a mistake, and I put on 7x4 sheets. And if I put the wrong sheets on your beds, the manager will say to me...
Look, miss, if I get up, I'll start walking the floor. And if I start walking the floor, I'll get into a bad humor. And when I go to Embassy tomorrow, they'll say, Jerry Lewis, why did you faint on your radio program? And I'll say, who could help but fainting? I was excited. And they'll say, oh, talking back, eh? I guess you don't want to go on the radio very bad. And I'll say, and they'll say, and they'll fire me. It's people like you that cause unemployment.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
You've just heard the new Martin and Lewis show. If you enjoyed them, tune in again each Sunday night at the same time. And next week, our guest will be Bob Hope. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
It's the Martin and Lewis Show. The National Broadcasting Company brings you, transcribed from New York, the Martin and Lewis Show. Our guest tonight, Ralph Bellamy, and featuring Flo McMichael, Dick Stabile and his orchestra, and starring Dean Martin.
Time on my hand, you in my arms, nothing but love for you.
And Jerry Lewis.
I'll have time on my hands, but I'll never have you in my arms, my darling. Not now. We met on the 4th of July. How slyly you attracted my attention by holding a lighted firecracker in your teeth. But it turned out you were just a flash in the pan.
Way down upon the Swanee River, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in the IX. I even know my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to my Swanee shore. Mammy for me, praying for me, down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. When
Dean and Jerry's picture, My Friend Irma, opens at the Paramount Theater in September, the boys have an offer to appear on the stage at the same time, but only on one condition. They must have a complete new act. Well, right now we find them in the theater manager's office discussing it.
But before we sign the contract, boys, there's just one thing.
Yeah?
Well, what's that, Mr. Smith?
Just this. So many people in New York have seen your act at the Copacabana by now that for your appearance here on the Paramount stage, you absolutely must have everything new in your act.
A new act, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got a sensational idea. I just got to work out a few of the details.
What's this new sensational idea, Jerry?
The curtain goes up on an empty stage. Dean and I walk out.
Yes, yes, and then what do you do?
Those are the details I gotta work out.
Oh, Jerry, you're so embarrassing.
Mr. Smith, I don't understand what you're worried about. Jerry and I do a pretty good act on the nightclub floor.
Oh, I know that. I was over at the Copacabana and watched. Your singing is dynamite, Dean. Pure dynamite.
What about my jokes?
Son, your fuse must have got wet.
Wait, I got another idea, Dean. How about that dramatic bit we did in Atlantic City, remember? I was the millionaire, and you were my butler. And I had that dramatic opening line. Jives, pass me the grapefruit. What a line that was. Jives, pass me the grapefruit.
Well, Dean, did you pass him the grapefruit?
I couldn't. The audience beat me to it.
You know, I'm beginning to lose confidence in you boys. I meant what I said before. No new act, no contract for my stage show.
Look, Mr. Smith, we've just been kidding. Of course we've got a new act. We've been working on it for months, and it's sensational.
What new act, Jerry?
Dean's so modest, Mr. Smith. What new act?
All right, what new act?
Oh, I can't do justice telling you about it here in this office. But you come out to the Copa tonight, and we'll show you the whole new act.
Okay, I'll be there, but I'm warning you. You'd better have something good or the whole deal's off. Good day, gentlemen.
Yes, that's what happened yesterday. Jerry and Dean have been worried all night. And this morning we find them in their apartment, still wondering about a new act to do for the Paramount stage.
You sure put us on the spot, Jerry, telling that manager we had a new act.
Well, I had to say something, Dean, or we would have lost that contract.
Yeah, but we got to have a new act by tonight.
Hey, Dean, I just got an idea. I could be one of those guys who come out and swallow razor blades and nails. You know, the man with the cast iron stomach.
Oh, Jerry, you couldn't do that.
Sure I could. I can see it all now. I come out in the middle of the stage and start eating anything they hand me. Nuts, bolts, spikes, tin cans, beer caps, carving knives. Our act will be a big hit. People will bring their babies from all over just to hear me rattle. And Dean, for an encore, I swallow daggers and swords and needles and ice picks and Dean.
What?
My stomach hurts.
Now, Jerry, this is serious.
Hey, none of these ideas seem to be good enough, Dean. I guess we ought to...
Come in. Who is it?
It's me.
It's Florence, our secretary.
Hiya, Florence. Any mail for us today?
Oh, yeah. Here's some letters. But there's something I can't understand.
What?
Well, I mailed this letter the other day, and it came back marked insufficient postage.
Well, let's see it. Well, Florence, no wonder. There's no stamp on it.
Oh, that's funny. I distinctly remember putting a stamp on it.
Did you lick the stamp good?
Ah, you have to lick it.
Well, of course you have to lick it.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't stick my tongue out at George Washington.
Florence, George Washington is on the front of the stamp. You lick the back.
Well, that's even worse. I certainly wouldn't do anything like that behind George's back.
Florence, let's not bother with that now. Jerry's got us in a real jam. We got to get a new act together by tonight for the manager of the Paramount Theater.
Why don't you go back and do your old act that you started out with?
Well, you mean where Jerry and I come out on opposite sides of the stage and I say, hello, Jerry, and I hit him in the face with an apple pie?
Oh, I'll never do that again. That was horrible.
What was so horrible?
Too much cinnamon.
You're so silly, Mr. Lewis. You know, sometimes you remind me of a picture I saw called The Snake Pot.
The Snake Pot? You mean that Olivia de Havilland picture? Florence, it wasn't The Snake Pot. It was The Schnook Pot.
Hey, Jerry, look at all this mail Florence brought. Here's a letter from Ralph Bellamy.
You mean Ralph Bellamy, the star of that Broadway play detective story?
That's right, and listen to what he says. It says, dear Dean and Jerry, I saw you at the Copacabana a few nights ago and enjoyed it tremendously. I hope you pardon me for saying so, but I have a wonderful idea for you. It'll make your act even better than it is, and if you are interested, please come and see me. Regards, Ralph Bellamy.
Say, hey, maybe this is the idea we've been looking for. What are we waiting for, Dean? Let's go see him quick.
Well, okay. Come on, Florence.
Me?
Sure, it'll look important, us bringing along our secretary.
Sure, Florence. Remember, when you meet Mr. Bellamy, make us look important.
Well, What will I do?
Oh, it's easy. You know, when you see your chance, just drop in a line about Dean being the greatest singer in show business and me being the funniest comedian in the whole world.
The funniest comedian in the whole world.
That's it. Think you can do it?
Sure. I'll lie my head off. Come on, let's go see Ralph Bellamy. We've got no time to lose.
Hey, Mr. Bellamy's apartment is 3408, down to your right.
Follow me, folks. 3402, 3406, 3408. Here it is.
Mr. Bellamy?
Yes, I'm Ralph Bellamy. Well, come on in, Dean, Jerry. But I don't believe I know this young lady.
Oh, this is Florence McMichael, our secretary.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for mentioning the name of such a lowly person as me. Oh, mighty master.
Lawrence, don't overdo it.
Well, Mr. Bellamy, we're certainly anxious to hear about the great idea you have in mind for us.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time to think of us. Gee, a big Broadway star like you.
Oh, I'm not really a big Broadway star.
Yes, you are, Mr. Bellamy.
Oh, come now, Jerry. I'm not really such a big star.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Hey, Dean, this guy ain't a big star.
Oh, now, yes, he is. I know Mr. Bellamy, and I've seen you in your play detective story.
Thank you, Dean. Let's get down to business. I've watched your act. Dean here has a fine voice.
Fine voice? He's got a wonderful voice.
Yes, that's right. And Jerry is funny, very funny.
Oh, he's funnier than funny. He's downright idiotic.
Florence, will you stop helping?
And your speaking voice is unique, Jerry. Why, your enunciation and your vowel construction seem to be in juxtaposition with your esophagus and your larynx.
Okay, Florence, play around with that for a while.
We're all excited about this.
A very romantic love song.
You've written a song?
Yes.
And I hate to tell you this, but the good ones only come from professional songwriters.
I know about that, fellows, but this is an exception. This is art.
Well, come to think of it, Jerry, Mr. Bellamy has been around the theater, and he's smart. He knows show business. He wouldn't write a bad song.
Sure, that's right. It has to be a hit. Leave it to the general public, like, say, your secretary here.
Me?
Sure. It's a very romantic love song called When My Honeybee Starts Buzzing Around, I Always Get the Hives. Well, what do you think of it, Florence?
Bye.
No, you don't get the clever idea of the song. You see, my honeybee is what I call a girl. And when she starts buzzing around, that means she's not being true to me. And I'm so unhappy, I break out in hives. See? Wonderful, isn't it? Huh?
Mr. Bellamy?
Yes?
Are you for real?
What I don't understand, Mr. Bellamy, is why you decided to have Jerry and me introduce your song.
Well, frankly, boys, I've tried everybody else. Crosby, Como, Jolson. Just yesterday, I took it to Phil Spitalny, and he had the girls play it at a rehearsal.
Is Phil Spitalny going to use it?
No, the song had a peculiar effect on the orchestra. Every time Evelyn played a chorus on her magic violin, she broke an A string.
Yeah. Evelyn has more trouble with her magic violin. Why, the other night she played that new song, Valley High, and her midriff lit up.
Well, I'll just go over to the piano and play my song for you. First, I want to give you the background of this song. You see, I originally composed it for an old girlfriend of mine who liked romantic love songs. Unfortunately, she's now a bebop fan.
Oh, I see. You wrote it for an old flame, and she turned into a solid cinder.
Shut up.
Wait a minute, Dean. I don't think Mr. Bellamy got the joke. You see, Mr. Bellamy, I said solid cinder, and it's really like an old flame that's burned out, you see? But a cinder and a sender is the same kind of words. Bebop, a sender, you know? That's a bebopper. But my cinder was about a flame. See, this is very funny whenever I tell the cinder, look how he's staring at me.
Bellamy, why don't you play your song?
Well, here goes. When I call you on the phone, then I know you are my own. Pretty clever, huh? Surely you can't deny that those words really mean something.
All that means to me is that you know a girl's phone number and you got a nickel.
Mr. Bellamy, you must be kidding, aren't you? Did you really write this?
Amazing, isn't it?
Sure is.
Wait till you hear the next two lines. I know that you're the only one. When I dial Trafalgar 1.
Oh, that's clever. Imagine that, Dean. He rhymed one with one. Isn't that a doll?
Jerry, you're interrupting.
I'm sorry.
Well, and then it goes... Back in school when skies were gray, I kissed her on the 10th of November.
Now, wait a second. Why don't you make that I kissed her on the 10th of May, then it'll rhyme.
Oh, I had to wait till November. You see, she had hay fever all summer.
Yeah, my eyes are starting to burn a little right now.
Well, how do you like it so far?
I think it's swell, Mr. Bellamy. What a beautiful story you tell. Calling his girl on the phone. Gee, I sit home night after night and nobody ever calls me and tells me things like that.
They don't, Lawrence? Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I haven't got a phone.
Lawrence, please. Go ahead, Mr. Bellamy.
Well, in the middle, it changes, like all popular songs do. In a sunsuit, everybody knows her. They all go for her southern exposure.
You mean that girl in the song was parading around in just a sunsuit?
Why, yes.
Gee, it's a good thing she didn't have a magic violin. She'd lit up all over.
Well, how does your song finish up, Mr. Bellamy?
Oh, that's as far as I've gone. But now that most of the work is done for you, it should be simple for you to take it and put a finish on it.
Oh, I guess we'll have to. Jerry's already told the manager of the Paramount that we'll have a new act to show him at the Copacabana tonight. So, come on, Jerry and Florence. We'll have to work fast.
Okay, I'll see you all at the Copa tonight.
Hi there, Mr. Bellamy. Glad you got here. I was beginning to think you weren't coming. Won't you sit down?
Thanks. Say, the Copa's really crowded, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Dean's just about ready to open a midnight floor show. Will you listen?
Little old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw a-plowing through the ragged sky and up a cloudy draw. Yippee-yi-yay! Riders looped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, a riding on the rain, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. E-P-I-A. The ghost heard in the sky. E-P-I-O. The ghost riders in the sky.
wonderful. Your partner really has a marvelous voice.
You said it.
But now about my song. Did you do anything with it?
Did we do anything with it? Wait till you hear it. We made a big production number out of it. But you're going to have to help us by acting one of the parts out.
Me? Act out one of the parts in a nightclub?
Well, you have to help us out, though, Mr. Bellamy. We go on right after Dean sings. You see, the manager of the Paramount Theater just rushed over from the theater to catch the act. Come on over. I want you to meet him. Mr. Smith, this is the composer of our new act, Ralph Bellamy.
How do you do?
Hello, Mr. Bellamy. So, you're a songwriter, eh?
Oh, not professionally. Mr. Bellamy's an actor in the legitimate theater.
The legitimate theater? What in the world's that?
The kind that doesn't sell popcorn in the lobby.
Now, look here, Lewis. This new act of yours better be good. You didn't sound very convincing in my office yesterday. If you're wasting my time, the whole deal is off.
Oh, you'll love it, Mr. Smith. It's a very beautiful and romantic song, broken up by tense dramatic scenes.
Well, I still have my doubts.
You'll find out in a second. That's our cue. Excuse us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Copacabana proudly presents Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, Florence McMichael, and Ralph Bellamy in a new musical extravaganza entitled... When my honeybee starts buzzing round, I always get the hives.
Okay, Dean, you start it off.
When I call you on the phone, then I know you are my own. I know that you're the only one. When I dial Trafalgar 1.
The scene, a side street off Trafalgar Square in London. 18 fog-shrouded blocks into the Limehouse District, two British criminals meet in front of a saloon.
I say there, Jerry, old top.
What's on your mind, Dean, old meatball?
What say we go in this here saloon and wet our whistle, eh?
Blimey, that's a good idea. Let's go in. Dean, this here's a rum pub. Them swinging doors are in very bad taste.
Very bad taste? How can you say that?
I just tasted one.
Jerry, you got any idea how we can maybe make a few shillings, eh? Maybe a stick-up, eh? A nice little murder, eh?
Stick-up? Murder? You know, all you think about is work, work, work. Why don't we have some amusement? Go out and slug some bobbies.
I got a better idea, Jerry. Girls.
Ah, that ain't no fun going out and slugging girls.
Nah, you blinking idiot. We don't go out and slug the girls. We get friendly with the girls. We buy them drinks. We talks to them.
Oh, we cozies up to him, right? Gets chummy, right?
Right. Then we slugs him.
I say, Dean, there's a likely-looking girl standing at the bar. I'll go over and start a casual conversation. I'll be very polite and subtle. She'll never suspect that I'm really working up to buying her a drink. I say there, miss.
I'll have a large beer.
Someone asked you.
In case you're interested, short, dark, and underfed, me name is Bridget Molly O'Monaghan McRally Colleen O'Kelly Murphy.
Do tell, and where do you hail from?
Italy.
All right, Jerry, off with you. I seen her first.
You may have seen her first, but she goes for me, she does.
I don't go for you or your friend. Neither of you is exactly Cary Grant, you know.
Did you say Cary Grant? No, Judy, 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 you can't take a baby out of a man's life and expect him to go home living the way he has been. It's not right.
Wait a minute, Jerry. What have you done to my beautiful song?
Oh, I just fixed it, Mr. Bellamy. I can prove it, too, by Mr. Smith. Hey, Mr. Smith, what do you think of the act so far? What? You see, he loves it. Come on, Mr. Bellamy. You're acting in this next part. Sing it, Dean.
I'll always have you in my heart because I love you from the start. Back in school when skies were gray,
I kissed you on the 10th of November.
Ah, who can forget those high school days going to see your first girl? The scene, a high school boy walking up to the door of his girl's house.
Boy, I'll bet my girl Ethel will be glad to see me. I'll knock.
Who is it?
Hiya, sugar cookie. It's me, your snuggle bunny.
All right, you can come in, Gerald, but I've already got company. It's my other boyfriend, Ralph Bellamy, the big football star.
Hello.
Look, Squirt, three's a crowd. When two persons have some serious necking to do and some dopey person is around interrupting, it's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah? Don't listen to him, Ethel. You stay right here.
Never mind him, Ethel. Here, Ethel. Brought you a present. It's a piece of the jersey I wore when I made 147 touchdowns last Saturday.
147 touchdowns. 147 touchdowns. You think he won the game or something? Dean, we'll be a big hit with Mr. Smith.
Don't kid yourself. Mr. Smith really hates the act now.
What makes you think that?
Well, look at him. He just set himself on fire.
Oh, he's just lighting a cigar. I'll bet that means he's happy, Dean. Now go on. Sing the next part of the act.
In a sunsuit, everybody loves her. They all go for her southern exposure.
The scene, the deep south. Magnolia, a beautiful southern belle, is calling to her father, Colonel Jerry Lewis and Pepper.
The tourists have all gone. You can thin out your accent a little now.
Gotta keep my accent right, Magnolia. I got an audition tomorrow with the Lucky Strike people.
So, American.
Father, my beau Ralph is coming over to call me. Maybe he'll pop the question tonight. Oh, there's Ralph now. You better go in the next room, Papa.
All right, daughter. I'll go.
Hi-yo, Magnolia.
Ralph, honey, sugar lamb pie, come and sit on the sofa.
Oh, now, Magnolia, I know why you all want me to sit on the sofa.
You do?
Yep, when I left last night, I peeked in the window and I saw you rooting under the cushions for my loose chain. Say, Magnolia, I'd like to give you a little kiss, but your pappy might object.
Oh, Father won't even know. He's a half mile away cutting sugar cane. He won't know what's going on back here at the house.
Well, okay, then.
Aha! Caught you, Bellamy! This means a do. We'll shoot it out, that's what we'll do.
Okay, I got my gun right here.
You got a gun?
Sure I have.
Make yourself to home, friend.
So when I'm low and feeling blue, I lift the phone and talk to you. Cause when I call you on the someone else's. You are my very own.
Well, Jerry, did you ask Mr. Smith what he thought of your new act?
I couldn't. He stormed out of here so mad he couldn't see. Well, there goes our contract to appear at the Paramount.
Oh, not necessarily, Jerry. There's 2 months till September, and we still have a chance to put a new act together by then.
I just happened to think. I got another song. It's a wow.
Oh, no.
Why, it'll be perfect to build your act around. It's got a much better title, too. It's called when my baby lamb pulls the wool over my eyes, I always feel real bad.
Well, that does it. Thanks for coming over tonight, Mr. Bellamy.
Good night, fellas.
Good night. See you next week, folks.
The Martin and Lewis Show, transcribed in New York, is produced and directed by Robert L. Redd and written by Ray Allen and Dick McKnight. Next Tuesday, our guest will be Charlie Ruggles. This is Ed Hurley. He's suggesting you tune in to your NBC station each Tuesday evening at the same hour for The Martin and Lewis Show. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.